ABC Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bales.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps. It was a legacy day for Joe Root. 9 for 325 at Stumps, England at the end of the first day. Corbin Middlemass alongside Jason Gillespie and Phil Jakes. Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Sport. And Alex Carey, the Australian wicketkeeper, is alongside us. Alex, firstly, how do you sum up the day?
A bit up and down, really. Yeah, obviously started really well with the ball. And we saw a pretty good partnership form with Crawley and Root, and then got back in the game after lunch, after tea, whatever we call these sessions. And then obviously, you know, that late partnership was pretty crucial for them, I think. Could have been worse, could have been better. But yeah, I thought Joe played an outstanding innings. I think we all know probably what that meant to him on Australian soil. But yeah, like I said, probably could have been better, could have been worse.
Who took the honours on day one?
Well, I think it's a pretty good pitch. Would have been nice to bowl him out there late. Yeah, I think any time you're still batting at the end of day one these days, it's pretty rare. So yeah, England played well. We're really confident we're in the game. We've got a good opportunity when our time comes to bat. I thought there probably wasn't a lot of sideways movement, a little bit of shape in the air. But yeah, we also saw runs in that last session. We saw runs in the first session. We saw wickets are out, so hard to say.
Kez, a bit of inconsistency in the surface, because noticed a few deliveries fell short of you on occasions.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good pitch. Maybe put it down to the pink ball. I think we saw a lot of times the boys trying to change it. They were saying you could almost put it out of shape with your hand. Like, it just felt soft at times. So, but yeah, look, it produced runs, it produced wickets. So, I think the wicket's pretty good. I think the ball was performed probably the way we thought it was going to. You had him 9 for 260. It was a good position. And obviously, a late little cameo from Jofra. It would have been nice to get him out early.
Kez, that catch running back over your shoulder, talk us through what was going through your mind when that ball went up in the air.
Oh yeah, I've had football day, so I've had players trying to tag me. Marnus was one of them today, and just outbodied him late. So he talks a big game in rugby, but yeah, AFL came through there, I reckon.
GWS Giants, eh?
It was an incredible catch. I mean, I was on air with Jakesy at the time, and we were obviously at the far end of the ground. I thought, geez, is he hung on to that? And almost like the crowd had the same reaction, where you knew you'd taken it. So did Marnus.
But he had a big smile on his face. Yeah, he almost kissed me. I think he did kiss me there, but. one of those ones. You just go hard early and put in the dive. But yeah, like I said, we had a pretty good day. It would have been nice to wrap it up there late.
Did you miss the spinner at any stages throughout the day?
I don't think so. No, I think we chipped away. And like I said, like the position we got ourselves in, we stayed in it. I think it was 4 for 200 at one stage, then 9 for 260, and then a late little burst there. So, I thought it's always going to be tough to leave out a player like Nathan Lyon. What I have learned in the last few years, these selectors have done an amazing job in making the big calls, making the right calls a lot of the time, and we've had a lot of success throughout the past few years with them in charge. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back out there tomorrow, hopefully wrap up that first wicket and get batting.
And your fellow wicket-keeping mate, Josh Inglis, goes okay, bare-handed as well?
And again, that changed a little bit of a course of the day as well. We all know what run-outs could do. We got a couple of back-to-back, so yeah, that was one of the best run-outs I've seen, actually. It was that was pretty special.
We'll let you run. Good luck tomorrow when you've got the big pads on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Alex Carey, the Australian wicketkeeper, with us on Grandstand at Stumps. Appreciate his time. We're here. Stumps on day one. It's another dramatic day in the context of the series. I say another as if we've had multiple days. We've had three, and yet we've had so much cricket jammed into those 3 days so far. So England, 9 for 325 at Stumps. With about 45 minutes to go, England were 9 down for 264. And yet this partnership is still going. The score up to 325. So an incredible contribution so far, worth over 70 runs between Jofra Archer, who's 32 not out, and Joe Root, who's still there on 135. So England 9 for 325. Who took the honours on day one? Phil Jaques, Jason Gillespie?
I think the last partnership has tipped it in England's favour. I thought Australia had wrestled it back under lights and they were doing a great job. And I thought if they could wrap it up for 280, 285 and then not lose too many wickets at the back end of the day, I thought it was going to be Australia's day. But England had definitely wrestled this day back from Australia at the end. And that annoying partnership at the end, they've still got to come. They've got to wake up in the morning and still in the field. They're going to hate the fact that they're still bowling in the morning.
Yeah, I'm saying honours completely with England. As Jakesy said, Australia are going to have to come out and bowl with an old 74 overall ball for six overs. So that's another six overs of opportunity for England to maybe just get their eye in again, reset. Who knows what's going to happen when that new ball becomes available and Australia take it. But I certainly think honours Australia. Honours England, sorry.
Yeah, you can't prove the counterfactual in any of it, but there were plenty of us up there in real time saying, why aren't England bowling at this particular stage? And so with the benefit of hindsight, are they better off with the runs or were they better off with the time tonight?
Well, three wickets would have been really handy to get the game moving forward from England's perspective with a day. Yeah. With a ball in the morning, but yeah, you can't argue with 70 runs at the back end. That's just massive runs in the context of this game.
So from 9 for 264 to 9 for 325 at stumps on the opening day. This is Grandstand at Stumps from the Australian camp inside the England camp, and Henry Moran is alongside Zach Crawley.
Zach Crawley, who has a smile on his face. Zach, sum up that day for us.
Oh, really good day. I mean, unbelievable day for Joe. He's had that coming for a long time. He deserves it. I mean, probably the best player I've ever played with or against. And yeah, he's made us have a good day as a team there, so we're happy.
We'll get on to your innings shortly, but this is something that has been discussed, not just this tour, but several tours before. Joe Root not quite getting that 100 in Australia. It's felt a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been a big thing for him, to be honest. There seems to be outside noise about that. You know, I came on the last tour here and he played really well, just on some green wickets, got a couple of 80s and... you know, sometimes you just don't get the rub of the green, and he didn't even need the rub of the green today. He just played a flawless knock, and when I watched it, it was hard to believe that he hadn't got 100 here. You know, it was such a great knock, and yeah, he made it look effortless. So yeah, he deserves it. He works so hard in this game, and yeah, he's a brilliant player.
What does that mean to the team to have that sort of moment at the start of a difficult start to a tour, but seeing something that really can bring a side together like that?
Yeah, we were so excited up there. Everyone was smiling. We were nervous for him. I was nervous for him about 20 runs out. Everyone was talking about it, like, what is he going to do with the celebration and stuff? And, you know, we were so just chuffed to bits for him. So, yeah, no, absolutely. And he's going to, you know, he deserves all the credit he gets from all the lads and from everyone.
How are you feeling when those two wickets fell at the other end early on in the day today to Mitchell Starc? It felt like a tough moment for England, that.
Yeah, it was obviously a great start by them. A couple of, you know, really good ball and a bit unlucky for Popey. So, but, you know, that was me last week, so I know how it feels. So, you know, it's just the nature of the beast at the top of the order, and I knew it was just going to get a bit easier if me and Joe could bat for 10 overs or so, and it proved to get a little bit easier, so we managed to put some runs.
That partnership at the end there was many saying that England should declare, get half an hour with the pink ball under the lights. What was the chat in the dressing room?
The chat was to go hard, and if you got out, then we can have half an hour of them. And if you got some runs, then they could be crucial runs. And they proved to do the latter. They got some crucial runs. 50-run partnership there, 10th wicket is a phenomenal effort, and puts us in a good position tomorrow, I think.
Zach Crawley with Henry Moran from the BBC. So great to hear from Zach so soon after stumps. England 9 for 325. England didn't bat 74 overs across two innings in the Perth Test match, and here they are batting through the first day, thanks largely to that unbroken 10th wicket stand between Jofra Archer and Joe Root. Archer 32, Root 135. The partnership worth 71 unbroken. They bat through the last 45 minutes. It means they will still be batting when play begins tomorrow at 3 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time.
Yeah, I liked what Zach was saying about the plan for when Jofra went out to bat. It was basically, we're going to go hard, and if we get out, then we've got a chance to bowl. If we go hard and it comes off, which is exactly what happened, we've got runs on the board. And I completely agree with Zach Crawley there. I reckon runs on the board are going to prove pretty important, and it's definitely their day.
Just on Joe Root, I mean, the day belongs to him. It felt like a legacy day for Joe Root. relatively early in the series. Here we are the third day after the opening day of the first test, the second test, of course, after the first test only lasted 2 days overall, and he gets that 100 that has been long promised on his fourth tour of Australia. Here's how Jim Maxwell caught it on ABC Radio.
98 runs, no hundreds ever in Australia. It's his highest test score in Australia so far.
7 for 252. Here's Boland and Root forward. He takes it around the corner. He scuttles for one. He's going for two. He goes for four. And that's it. He raises his hands. He is elated, Joe Root. He's reached this milestone at last.
Felt like the last qualifier on his greatness removed. That anyone that wanted to say, oh, Joe Root is an all-timer, but he wasn't able to get 100 against his chief rival away from home. Well, they can't say that anymore.
The resume is complete for an all-time great of this game. 40 hundreds now. Finally ticked that box of 100 in Australia. And, you know, he thoroughly deserved that 100 today. That was a sublime innings. It was a combination of busy working of the ball, dropping and running, really nice late contact, and some attacking strokes as well. But there wasn't that reckless side of English batting today, especially from Joe Root. He was the anchor. He was the rock, and he, as he's proven so many times in the past, just world class.
There was a lot of decisiveness about his movements, Jakesy, I felt. You know, crisp, sharp movements, and you know, I thought it was excellent. I think that's one. And Darren Lehman referenced it in the box. He probably thinks it's one of his best hundreds.
Yeah. I mean, the question coming into the day was, would England have the adaptability that they need in Australia to be able to keep themselves, not just in this test, but obviously more broadly in the series? Do we see that in the way that Root went about it today, making the adjustments that England needed to make as a batting unit? Was that reflected in their premier batsman?
Yeah, I think it was. And I think he showed them exactly how to go about it. You know, he generally bats like that anyway. He's not the reckless baz ball. He was when it first started. I think he found his groove and he found his tempo. He's still playing attacking, aggressive playing, but he's playing it smart and he's batting long, more importantly from England's perspective. And the players around him are being positive. They're taking the game on, but they're taking it on in their own favour, whereas I felt in Perth they didn't find that balance. They were trying to drive on the up. They were trying to go over the top on a seeming wicket, bouncing wicket, really hard to do.
I mean, we're talking about Joe Root and how good he was, but I think Zach Crawley, he adjusted and adapted and learnt from his mistakes in Perth. Adjusted, adapted his game. I thought his driving straight down the ground was excellent, and he waited for his cross-batted shots, and then he just worked it through the leg side when the Aussies got too straight. I thought it was one of his better innings, to be honest.
So he's now played, this is his 16th test match in Australia, just on back in Joe Root, and I absolutely concur on your comments around Crawley and his knock at the top of the order. Still hasn't won one. So as much as, and Joe did point this out to his credit at the start of the series, he said, look, I'm more worried about that. The fact that I've played 14 test matches before I've toured here, have not won a single test match. The same goes for Ben Stokes, by the way. And so as much as he wanted the breakthrough 100, he's now got that. How are England placed to go about correcting the other stat?
Well, they're definitely on top in this test match at the moment. It's certainly not a W just yet. They've got some work to do. They'll be looking to try and get more runs, and then they're going to have to bowl well. To bowl this Australian side out on that pitch as well, they're going to have to bowl well. Otherwise, Australia could well get a lead and put some pressure on England. But, yeah, I mean, he's a team player. He wants success in Australia for his team, and he wants to get a win for England.
It was a funny old day. So just to relive it here on Grandstand at Stumps, England at the end of it, 9 for 325. But how we got here? Well, attending the coin toss was Ben Stokes and Steve Smith. All the excitement at the start of the day, which feels like a long time ago, was whether Pat Cummins was going to make a shock return. He wasn't there. Michael Neeser got the call up in the place of Nathan Lyon. So Lyon, for the second time in three test matches, left out. The Aussies going with a four-prong pace attack at home for the first time in almost 14 years. So Michael Neeser got the start to play in the lineup. Josh Inglis comes in to bat in the middle order. He's slated to come in at 7, head to retain his position up top. And obviously Usman Khawaja absent, injured. England only the one change to their lineup, with Will Jacks coming in at number 8 in the place of the injured Mark Wood. So Mitchell Starc, he struck early again and then often throughout the day. It was another incredible performance from the left armer who continues to break records. And it feels like he's almost playing the best cricket of his career at this stage for a guy who's been so good across formats. But he's playing sensational test cricket at the moment. He's gone 6 for, 7 for, 3 for, and now 6 for with the opportunity to make that 7 if he gets the last wicket tomorrow. How did he do it today, Dizzy? 6 for 71, Mitchell Starc. And again, with the pink ball, he's a menace.
Well, he's owning his zones on the surface, isn't he? He's bowling. His wrist and fingers are behind the ball. We talked about this the last test. His alignment is excellent at the crease, whether it's to the left-hand batter or the right-hand batter. And when he does that, he's got the weapon. His big weapon is swinging the ball back in. But he's added that wobble seam, that going across the right-hander. And he's got a couple of nicks from the right-handers with that angle and with his good alignment. Because he has, in the past, had a tendency when he's tried to bowl across the right-handers, he's fallen away at ball release and the ball's just gone a bit too wide. Where he's just found his alignment, he's taller at the crease, and it looks absolutely fantastic.
So he breaks another record, most wickets by a left-arm quick in Test history.
Absolutely brilliant. Wazzy Makram, not a bad bowler. absolutely brilliant. And look, full credit to Mitchell Starc. Probably has flown under the radar a little bit. Probably hasn't been talked about amongst the very greats of the fast bowling game in world cricket, but he can certainly be spoken about now for sure.
Absolutely. And I heard it put recently, which is pretty hard to argue, if you think about our best three format bowler. So since the advent of T20 cricket, who has been Australia's best across formats during that time? It's pretty hard to make the case that it's anyone but Mitchell Starc. I mean, for what he's done with the white ball in hand, and then he's also, I mean, if you just look at his test career, that's a Hall of Fame career alone.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a Hall of Famer, no doubt about that, in test cricket. He's a strike bowler. He's a weapon with the new ball. He's a weapon with the old ball. He's great across all formats, and he is now a true great. He hasn't had the accolades that he deserves. He's now the leading wicket taker for a left-arm bowler all time, and in two less games as well than the great Wazzy Makram, who, mind you, would love to see him bowl with a pink ball as well. That would be fantastic to go and watch.
It's an interesting lineup. You've got a makeshift opener at the top for Australia and Travis Head, who, albeit coming off a blazing 100 over in Perth, you've got two wicket keepers at 6 and 7. And then you've got four pace bowlers, which, as I outlined earlier, we haven't seen for almost a decade and a half here in Australia in the way that the Aussies fronted up here in Brisbane. More on that in just a moment. But speaking of one of those wicket keepers, Josh Inglis, barehanded, out in the field, peeled off this highlight a little earlier tonight.
Forward against Stokes. Oh. Watch him run all. There's a chance here for run on Stokes. No, he doesn't dive. It's a direct hit in Australia, a cock-a-hoop. And Ben Stokes is out. A wholly unnecessary wicket. But Australia get the captain under the night sky.
Oh. The kid born in Leeds in West Yorkshire just breaks the hearts of the England faithful. He moved out here to Australia at 14, pledged his allegiance to Australia, and there he is with a baggy green on, a direct hit run out to send the England captain packing. What a moment.
What a super moment in the test match, wasn't it? Running full tilt to his right hand, off balance, one stump to aim at. Never looked like missing. Unbelievable effort and a really big moment in the game.
And one-handed, mind you, Jakesy. That's the thing that impressed me the most. And to be fair, it just bobbled up just perfectly for him too. And had one stump to aim at. Brilliant. A big moment in the game that potentially could have changed it because Jamie Smith followed soon after. So Australia were well on top at that point.
We were on air at the time and Alex Carey chased a ball in the night sky. Here's how we called it.
Atkinson awaits, Starc charges in. Oh, gets a top edge as he tries to play a pull shot, goes straight up in the air. Carey racing back after it, almost collides with Labuschagne. Carey somehow takes a screamer back over his shoulder, rode a bump from his teammate, Marnus Labuschagne, and still took it. Starc picks up the wicket, that's his fifth.
Amazing. That's amazing. So has the contact with his own teammate and still somehow the ball lands in the gloves, never took his eye off it, went as high as the lights, and somehow Alex Carey shows whether it's up to the stumps or sharp reflexes in the cordon or chasing sky balls into the outfield, he can do it all.
He certainly can, and he wound back the clock there to his old AFL days and took a mark in the forward pocket, didn't he? It was a great little piece of work to not only catch the ball running backwards into that night sky, but also keep Marnus Labuschagne from trying to pilfer it out of his back pocket.
And also, I think it must be said, his keeping throughout the whole day's play was outstanding. I mean, he was up to the stumps to Michael Neeser. I think he even came up the stumps to Scotty Boland. They were bowling bounces and down leg side and everything, and he took everything absolutely cleanly. I mean, he's in superb nick with the gloves.
England 9 for 325 at stumps after 74 overs. That's all we got. 74 overs on the first day here. So the target is 90. And as you pointed out, Diz, the target's 90 in 6 hours, not 6.5 hours. And we used every last minute and fell 16 overs short. 9 for 325 England at close. Root 135 not out. Archer on 32. Now, a big talking point is going to be the makeup of Australia's team. I've alluded to it. It's an unusual-looking lineup with the four quicks and the two keepers. Nathan Lyon was on Channel 7, their free-to-air host broadcaster, and he spoke with Mel McLaughlin about the fact he's not in this 11.
I found out I come to ground, as I always do, pretty early, about 12 o'clock, and found out about 12:30.
George Bailey's already said that you weren't too impressed. What was that conversation like?
Short. Yeah.
Like this one?
Yeah. Absolutely filthy, but, we can't do anything about it. So, just hope I can play my role in making sure I can get the guys ready and do whatever I can to make sure that we get the right result here.
It's not too often you see these players, commentators, whatever that we work with, absolutely stunned, and that happened earlier today. Why do you think you were left out? What were the reasons?
To be honest, I haven't really sat down with Ronnie or George yet. I'm letting things settle down in my own head, and trying to make sure that I'm doing whatever I can to make sure the guys out in the middle there representing Australia do the right thing and get the right result for us.
Okay, so do you feel like people have been honest with you in the lead up to this? Were you blindsided?
No. The communication is always there. I just haven't had it in me to go and sit down with the coach and George at the moment. So that will happen. I'm not the first player to miss a test match, and I won't be the last. But obviously I'm pretty gutted because I know the role that I can play within Australian cricket, and especially at a venue like this. So extremely disappointed. But as I said, I'll do whatever I have to do to make sure these guys are up.
Nathan Lyon earlier today, courtesy of Channel 7. What did you hear there, Diz?
Oh, make no mistake, he is filthy, isn't he? He is as disappointed as you can possibly get, and rightly so. He should be playing in this match. The Australian side doesn't look as balanced as it could be, and we saw, I mean, you mentioned 16 overs down with the extra half hour. Australia missed a trick here, in my opinion.
Is it unusual that he didn't know that late in the piece?
A little bit. I was surprised that they left it so late, and that's not been a hallmark under George Bailey and Andrew McDonald. They normally communicate it very early. They're very clear with their plans and ideas, which suggests to me they're just a bit unsure about what the best 11 looks like at the moment.
The thing that baffled me the most is the fact that there's only 3 mil of grass on this wicket, and you can't say it was condition-based.
Yeah.
If we turned up this morning and they left 8 mil of grass on, and they said, look, Nathan, it's going to seam. We need extra quicks, or we need an extra batter. We're going to play a different side and a different balance. But the fact of the matter is, it's 3 mil of grass, and I haven't seen 3 mil of grass on the Gabba for I don't know how long. It is a good batting wicket, and it's a place where he's had success when it's been like this. It seems a very strange decision that he didn't play.
It's a baffling decision, Jakesy, isn't it?
It's fascinating insight. And Nathan Lyon sounded as raw and honest as we've heard him in that grab. And it probably speaks to the reports we heard yesterday about Cummins being a chance and the indecision, I guess, around who was Australia's best 11. Coming off a dominant two-day win in Perth, and yet they clearly still weren't sure that close to the toss of the coin.
And the other thing that's really interesting is they already had four seamers in the side.
Yeah.
So they could have had four seamers and Lyon and still had a balanced team. It was a matter of the fact that they could have played Neeser instead of Doggett if they wanted to extend their batting, and then they still have four seamers with Green and still play Lyon. But they've gone down the road of playing five seamers, and, they may use Travis Head. We haven't seen that yet. And we're miles behind the over rate, and we're not getting enough overs in the day's play, and we don't have an option to change that pace up.
I think it's just a bit of overthinking from the selectors and the coaching staff, in my opinion.
You can catch up on Grandstand at Stumps through the Best of ABC Sport folder in the podcast store. And don't forget the ABC Cricket Podcast. Ed Cowan has been in the house. He's ready to roll. So a new drop every Monday and Friday throughout the Ashes summer and after every day's play. So you'll hear Ed's thoughts as well.